Pastor Ray Bentley points to the strong actions taken by Phinehas, a zealous young relative of Moses.
Phinehas was making a stand and a clear statement to the entire nation of Israel. He is saying, we do not stand for betrayal of God or our sacred close relationship with Him, let alone our commitments and vows to our wives and our loved ones. We will not do that.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. How far are you willing to go to make a stand for what's important? Are you willing to step outside your comfort zone? Are you willing to risk your very life? Today, Pastor Ray introduces us to a man named Phinehas, who did something alarming at a time when the actions of the whole nation alarmed God.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 25. We're kind of mostly going to be in chapter 25. We're covering a section. You can read the other chapters on your own, but I'm going to zero in on this one story, and this one story is going to blow your mind, especially if you've never read it before. If you have read it, it's one of those stories you go, wow, man, whoo, that's in the Bible? And if you've never read it, you're going to go, wow, man, that's in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible, a story about a man named Phinehas. I want you to remember that name, because there's something very, very relevant in this story, though it's going to sound at first strange, especially to modern ears. But there is a level of depth and power and reality and authenticity and honesty that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the guy's name is Phinehas, but the subject matter is about holiness and intimacy with God. God doesn't want you to just know about Him. God doesn't want you to just learn about Him. God wants you to experience Him. So let's look into the story. Beginning with verse 1, he says, "Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifice of their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. And so Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and notice, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel.' So Moses said to the judges of Israel, 'Every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor.'" So they had this sacrificial worship, meal, idolatry, as well as promiscuity, sexual activity happening in honor of this god, Baal of Peor. God says, that's it, Moses, go, hang him, and tell those to go out, and anybody that joined in worshiping that false idol, they're to be hanged. And then verse 6, "And indeed one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest," note who this guy is. He is the main character of the story. He's not just anybody of the 2 million people. He is the grandson of Aaron the high priest. Aaron, who is the brother of Moses. "And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation, and look what he did. He took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the woman of Israel into the tent while they were having sexual relations, and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. It shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Okay, let's take a deep breath. How many would agree that's a wild story? Okay, so here's what we want to do. We're going to, you know, drop in the little life lessons. How do we apply this to us? What is God possibly trying to say to us today as we go along? So here's number one, the first life lesson. We learn that holiness leads to intimacy with God. Lack of holiness leads to, you know, judgment, we might say. So it's very interesting that as we look at this pattern, you have promiscuity or immorality, and then that leads to idolatry, bowing down and worshiping false gods. And remember, God's with them. He's just delivered them. He's visible to them. He's brought bread from heaven, water out of a rock. And they go, okay. And then they're bowing down, worshiping this false god as idols. And then they're sacrificing to the false god right in God's face. And then finally, they're having an idolatrous feast. So let's go to the next life lesson. Promiscuity and idolatry are essentially expressions of the same thing. Here's what's interesting. There is a subtle difference between the story of the golden calf and now the story of Baal Peor. At the golden calf, idolatry, they started by worshiping the idols, and then they moved into promiscuity. But at Baal Peor, they started with the promiscuity, and that led them to idolatry. The order is reversed. Now, when you read through the Bible, you need to understand that everything has meaning. So when God tells two stories that are basically identical, except this one point where it's reversed between promiscuity and idolatry, God is telling us something. He's trying to communicate to us something. And what God is trying to say is that these two things, promiscuity on the one hand, and idolatry on the other, are different from one another. And what God is saying is, no, in my eyes, they're exactly the same thing. Sexual intimacy becomes a mere tool for momentary pleasure, not love and relationship. Therefore, we go on to our next life lesson. Idolatry is not about building a relationship. It's about, really, manipulation and control. Idolatry is not about creating closeness. It's about winning the God's approval to convince them to give me what I want. Idolatry is the opposite of creating relationship. When you have an idol, worship becomes a mere tool. You use worship as a tool to bribe the gods and selfishness. So I want to put it here, I put it in your notes in a couple of simple paragraphs. Again, promiscuity is taking sexual activity, which God intends to be a gift or a tool for building a deep personal relationship, and then using it for selfish and personal pleasure. On the other hand, idolatry is really about taking worship, which God gave as a tool for building intimacy, closeness, where I feel and experience the presence of God, and makes it like rituals that become meaningless because I'm using it for selfish purposes to curry favor with the gods. So both promiscuity and idolatry are ways of destroying and cheapening the very idea of intimacy. And by the way, that is why so often within Christianity we talk about this, we're not talking about religion. The world has religion. The world has spirituality. The world has gods. And you can sell yourself to keep doing physically, immorally what you want and still have a set of spirituality. There are gods that will allow that to happen, but you are destroying intimacy. You're destroying the capacity for closeness, for feeling and experiencing the presence of the glory of God. And it thus turns relationship into ritual, and ritual always leaves you dry and empty and frustrated Until finally you go, I don't even know. I'm sick of doing these rituals. I'm getting nothing for it. I'm going to leave God. And what has happened is it started with promiscuity, led to idolatry, until finally you go, I don't even believe in God, or I don't even need this spirituality anymore. Ah, here's why that God said that's such an important area, because when you get to sexual intimacy, you are looking literally at a mirror of a human soul that has been created in the image of God for closeness, intimacy, and relationship. And when you worship an idol, a false god, the New Testament says behind those little idols that excuse your activity that you want to do are demons. Demons are real. It's interesting that when Jesus came, he's the Son of God, born of the Virgin, came to bring the message of the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that after he had to deal, first of all, with the devil in the wilderness? First thing before his ministry began, he had to deal with the devil and overcome those temptations. Then he went to the synagogue. And guess what the first thing he had to do was? It wasn't preach. It wasn't even to heal. In the synagogue, he had to cast devils out of those who were coming to church, who were believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, sitting in the synagogue. And Jesus said, some of you have demons, and you must be delivered. And then after he began delivering them from the infestation of the demons, because Israel had, you know, they were full of hypocrisy in the time that Jesus came. And the religion practiced in Jerusalem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees was an outward form of ritual that had burned the people dry. And that's why John the Baptist came with light, fire, and they said, "Woo! I feel something. The presence of God, the fire of God, the glory of God. We've not heard a prophet in the land of Israel for hundreds of years." And John the Baptist came and he said, "I baptize you with water, but one is coming who baptizes in the power of the Holy Spirit and fire." It was Jesus. So that's why religion becomes dry. And because of the demons behind the idols, or behind the promiscuity, it all leads to the same thing. So here's the next life lesson that we get out of this story. At the heart of idolatry and promiscuity is a lie that we tell ourselves. Every person that is caught and trapped in a lifestyle of idolatry or promiscuity, or both, is lying to themselves. I can be fleshly, and I can be spiritual, and I can have it all together. But you see, what they want is a form of spirituality that they have some measure of control. So there really is no trust, and therefore there is no closeness, there's no intimacy, there's no relationship with God. And if you can't have a relationship of closeness with God, guess what? You will find it impossible to feel or be or trust close to another human being. And the irony is, either through promiscuity or idolatry or both, or whichever one comes first and the other one follows after it, you end up being more and more and more and more alone. And even when you're in a room filled with people, you feel no connection with them. And then you start losing your connection with God. Ooh, you're in a dark, dark place. So this is the story of Phinehas. So now we're going to wrap this up with Phinehas. And this is the wildest of them all. In this story, even in the Old Testament, with the javelin and the spear becomes a type of Jesus Christ. He becomes a type of Jesus Christ. So regardless which comes first, promiscuity or idolatry, the two go hand in hand. But then God sees Phinehas. And he sees Phinehas get up. Remember, there, you know, Moses, he said, we got to bring some judgment. And there's a prince of Israel that says, forget you, Moses. He grabs a Moabite girl, goes into the tent, begins going at it. And Phinehas says, that's it. Now, no, Phinehas cannot change. This is a plague that has infested the whole camp of Israel. And those 24,000 that had died already were doing the same thing this one prince named Zimri was doing in that tent with that Moabite girl. It was happening everywhere. And so, but Phinehas said, I can't stop at all, but I can make this one stop. And that's what he did. And it was a radical act. But here's the amazing thing. When God sees Phinehas act, God speaks from heaven and says, hey, Phinehas. He says it so all the angels can hear, the whole spirit realm can hear, and so that Moses can hear and write it and record it in the Bible. Hey, Phinehas, you get me. You know me. You understand me. You are close to me. You are loyal to me. You love me. And oh, I love you, Phinehas, grandson of Aaron the priest. Bless you, son, because you know that intimacy with me and my presence among you is precious and must be guarded and protected at all costs. And you know that what has been happening has been a betrayal, a break of that trust, and a break of that relationship. And it will destroy their relationship with me. But what they don't know is it will even destroy their relationship with one another. It will destroy their marriages, and then it will destroy their children, and it will destroy their legacy. It will affect future generations. When Phinehas stood up that day, he was making a stand and a clear statement to the entire nation of Israel. He is saying, we do not stand for betrayal of God or our sacred close relationship with him, let alone our commitments and vows to our wives and our loved ones and our families and our children. We will not do that. And amazingly, through this incredibly single violent act, he ironically makes, God says, peace. He makes peace. Look with me in verse 12. I want you to look exactly what God said in verse 12. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. You know what the Hebrew word for peace is? Shalom. That young man Phinehas has just brought, and I make a covenant with him forever and a legacy into future generations. He has shalom. He has now peace. I give him that covenant of peace. Like Phinehas, Jesus acted zealously on behalf of the Lord. He was in heaven for all of eternity, but he looked down upon the earth and the darkness and the loneliness and the emptiness and the promiscuity and the immorality and the disrespect and the selfishness and the pride and the ego and the malice and the anger and the depression and the suicide and the demons, mixing it all up and loving all of it. And Jesus was filled with zeal, passionate zeal from the heart of the Father. God loved the world so much. He sent his son. Jesus loved us so much. He came. And yet Jesus, you remember what happened when he's on the cross? He was pierced through. Not only were his hands taken, he was pierced for us. And they literally took a javelin, Roman spear, and thrust it right up here under the ribs. And the tip of the spear went up through Jesus' body, and blood and water, remember where it says blood and water flowed out? You know what that means? It means the tip of the spear punctured and pierced his heart. Jesus literally, as well as figuratively, died on the cross of a broken heart. And because of that one passionate, zealous act, Jesus destroyed the demons, and he destroyed the work of the devils, and he destroyed the power of sin, and he rose from the dead. And God said, now with him, I make a covenant of shalom for all of eternity. He shall have a priesthood that shall rule and reign forever and ever and ever and ever. What happens in the new covenant, as it were, is that Jesus walks into the tent where Zimri, the Jewish prince, and the young Moabite girl, and he says, stop and walk outside right now. They get up and they walk outside like the woman caught in the act of adultery. And then Jesus takes the javelin, Jesus takes the spear, Jesus takes and stopped the wrath of God. May I say to you that right now, we've got two generations moving together, and the sins of the parents have come to the next generation, the same temptations, the same idols, the same demons, the same traps. There is nothing new under the sun, the Bible says, and it's a plague. And sadly, the plague is even worse than it was when we were growing up in the 60s and the 70s. And that plague of promiscuity and of idolatry now makes its way, you know, whereas used to you had to go somewhere to find it, now it comes to you. And your phone, and your iPad, and your device, and every easy, convenient, in fact, you're not even looking for it, and boom, it's popping up. And now we're reading, it's not just every man's battle, But the latest statistics say that because of the tsunami of what's happening, it's every woman's battle as well, and it is totally permeated and thrown, upset the apple cart of our whole society, and they are being trapped in it. And what can we do? What can we do? Millions of all ages are being trapped and don't realize the demonic strongholds. And the further you're into it, whether you're using idolatry to be promiscuous or being promiscuous and falling into idolatry, the end of that road is you don't even follow, you don't follow God, you don't love God, you don't believe in God, and you can't feel God. You are alone. Jesus said, "Oh, how great is the darkness of those who eye is off of the Lord. He is a light. But you take your eyes off of him, how great is the darkness on the inside." What can we do? Well, Phineas could not correct 24,000, let alone 2 million. He stood up as one young man for his day and his generation. But God saw one young man, courageous, who said, "Well, I'm not going that way. We're turning this thing around, at least here for me and my house. And Zimri, this prince, it's not going to happen anymore." And God spoke, and then the plague stopped. We need courageous fathers in homes to stand up for holiness, true intimacy, righteousness with their families. We need women, moms, who stand up with their daughters and who say, "You know what, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." We need one here and one there, and God will see from heaven, and he can stop the trajectory, and he can literally, look, if you follow the Lord and you stand up alone, you will find out you're not alone. And what your one decision for your family, it will not only affect you, but as with Phineas, it'll affect your children, and it literally can change the course of your legacy. There's another legacy of darkness, of abuse, sexually, immorally, idolatry, either into witchcraft or, you know, weird beliefs, compromise, just so you have some spirituality, but it's all dark, and in the end, you end up getting controlled. But the freedom of personally knowing, walking, experiencing intimacy, the presence of God, the love of God, growing up as a son in freedom, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? May his love, the love of Jesus Christ, through whom God made a covenant of shalom forever, all who come through him shall have everlasting peace, and God granted him a perpetual priesthood. May his love and his truth and the revelation of this pierce our hearts, our minds, our conscience, so that we can come alive and walk with God. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with important counsel today from our study in the book of Numbers here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Holiness and Intimacy, and we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title is Holiness and Intimacy. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Numbers on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, "Hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story." And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Numbers. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.